This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah, walhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. We praise and glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as He deserves, and we send the choicest of peace and blessings on the noble messenger, our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his noble family and his companions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this gathering one of khair, one that will carry weight on our scales on the day of judgment, a gathering that He accepts and blesses and grants us ikhlas in our gathering, in our learning and teaching together, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to internalize what we hear of His words, His message that He has sent to us through Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our hearts to the understanding of the Quran and help us to act on it in the best possible way. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show us truth as the truth and falsehood as falsehood, and help us to stay away from falsehood and to embrace the truth and act upon it. So the surah that we have chosen for today's class is the 102nd surah towards the end of the Quran, Surah At-Takathur, briefly translated as the rivalry or competition for worldly gains. So this is another Makkan surah, as we remind ourselves that in the early part of Revelation, the message was being presented to a hostile environment of the Quraysh, who were rejecting the message, and there was persecution of the early believers, and they were being challenged with a lot of difficulties. And even in that environment, where there was a handful of Muslims who were going against everything that the community had and the tribes had experienced, these were young people, they were poor people who were rebelling against the society by accepting this message. And in doing that, they had to give up a lot of the dunya. We have the example of one of the early young companions, Mus'ab bin Umair, who was imprisoned by his mother, and who was beaten, and who was finally, they threatened to take all of the dunya away from him because he came from a very wealthy family. To those people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at that time has revealed this surah, which essentially talks about attachment and competition for worldly gains at the expense of the main purpose that for which we are created. So in that environment still, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the surah. So we will recite the surah, do a brief translation, and then we'll go into the details of this. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألهاكم التكاثر حتى زرتم المقابر كلا سوف تعلمون ثم كلا سوف تعلمون كلا لو تعلمون علم اليقين لترون الجحيم ثم لترونها عين اليقين ثم لتسألن يومئذ عن النعيم صدق الله العظيم. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in a brief translation, He says, you, mankind, you people, are busy, distracted, and preoccupied by greed and competition to have more and more until you come to your graves. Nay, in time, soon, you will come to know. Indeed, you will soon come to know the truth. Indeed, were you, if you but knew the truth with certainty, with yaqeen, you would most certainly see the fire of hell. Again, you will most certainly see the fire of hell with your own eyes. Then, on that day, you will indeed certainly be questioned about all the joys and blessings that you continuously enjoyed. So this is the brief translation. So let's break this down into a little bit more deeper understanding. Al-Hakumu comes from the word that means distraction. Lahwa is the origin. Lahwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word laibu wa lahwu. Play and entertainment. Lahu. Lahwa in Arabic means entertainment. In other words, you are spending your time in doing something which has a lower status than something more important. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using sort of the past tense in the sense that he is saying that you have been distracted, because one meaning of lahwa is something that distracts you, because entertainment is actually distraction from the reality of life. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying you have been distracted, you have been deceived, you have been duped, you have been fooled from something more important. And we'll come to that, because Allah doesn't specify what you have been distracted from. But what has distracted you? He says in the next word, at-takathur. At-takathur comes from the word kathir that everybody knows, which means to have plenty. Takathur means to want to have more and more and more. It also means to not only want and desire more of the dunya, but to compete with each other for it. That if so-and-so has such and such thing, I want better. And this goes across the board in all civilization, that when we see somebody has something, we want something like that or better. Another aspect of this word takathur is not only to compete, but to feel pride and to want to show this. That I want to show people what I have achieved. So I have a new car. I want everybody to know I have this. I have, my children have succeeded in something. I want to show that to everybody. So there is the component in takathur of wanting and desiring more, then competing with each other to have more, then wanting to show each other, showing off, and then finally, there is a commonality to it, which means that all of you have the same traits. That all of you want some of this. So now let's look at this. What is this everyone wanting more of? What is it? We generally call it dunya. Things of the world. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wherever He... frequently where he uses the word takathur and kathir, he talks about breaking the dunya down into two definitions. Amwalukum wa awladukum. Your wealth and your children. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Munafiqun, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu la tulhikum. Same lahwa, same root. La tulhikum, don't let it distract you. Amwalukum wa awladukum an dhikrillah. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُلْهِكُمْ أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُكُمْ أَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ O you who have attained to faith, O you believers, don't let your wealth and your children distract you from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the one who does this, he or they are among the khasirun, the losers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us again, أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ He said, وَعَلَمُوا أَنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةٌ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, And know, be certain to know that your wealth and your children are only a trial. This is not the goal of your life. And what is with Allah, that is the great ajrun azim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Taghabun, إِنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةٌ وَاللَّهُ عِنْدَهُ أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ That your wealth and your children are a trial. They are not to be done away with because Allah gives you that wealth. Allah gives you the children. But how you acquire that wealth, what do you think of that wealth that you possess? Do you possess the wealth or the wealth possesses you? Do you own the money or the money owns you and your time? Same thing with the children. They are granted to you as a blessing and as a trial. Do you, because of that blessing, do you forget the one who bestowed that blessing? Does the wealth that Allah gives you as a trial and as a blessing makes you forget the one who gave it to you? The ni'mah makes you forget the mun'im. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that everything in the world is a trial. And none of that should make us distracted from the main purpose. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us with the open question that you, O mankind, in your worldly competition to have more wealth than someone, you love the wealth, you love houses, you love cars, you love horses in the old days. Because why is that? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has program that in our hearts also as a trial. Things of this dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has adorned them, has made them look beautiful, so we get attracted to them, but only as a test, so that even though we are attracted, we deal with them in the proper perspective for what they are. They are to be used to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are to be used in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ali Imran, excuse me, زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهْوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ وَالْبَنِينَ وَالْقَنَاطِيرِ الْمُقَنْطَرَةِ مِنَ الذَّهَبِ وَالْفِدَّةِ وَالْخَيْلِ الْمُسَوَّمَةِ وَالْأَنْعَامِ وَالْحَرْثِ ذَلِكَ مَتَاعُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَاللَّهُ عِنْدَهُ حُسْنُ الْمَآبِ That for mankind, zuyyina, it has been made beautiful. What? Hubbu shahawat, the love and desire for what? Minan nisa, for women. Wal banin, for children. Wal qanatir al muqantarati, and heaps of dhahab and fidda, of gold and silver, of wealth. Wa khayl al musawwamati, and horses that are branded. And for today's, the branded, you know, the exotic cars and the expensive cars. Well, harth, and your farms and your fields where your lands. Dhalika mata'ul hayati dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and this is mata. This is a provision of this life. Wallahu indahu husnul ma'ab. And what is with Allah is what is more beautiful. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that yes, you have that desire, but don't let that become a means of your destruction, a means of taking you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That you become so busy in that competition for the dunya, that so-and-so has a big house, I need a bigger house. So-and-so has new furniture, I need to redecorate my house. So-and-so has a new car, I need. So-and-so is a millionaire, so I have to become a multimillionaire. Because this desire, this hirth, never ends. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us about this. He says in the hadith that you all know, that if the son of Adam, take it as me. If he were to be given a valley full of gold, not a box full of gold, not a desk full of gold, not a suitcase full of gold, not a room full of gold, but a valley full of gold, he would want a second. And if he was given a second, he would want a third. In other words, the vacuum for desire in his for this dunya will never be satisfied. He said it will only be satisfied by the turab, the dust of the grave, means when he dies. That's the only thing that does it. So there is no end to wanting more, because we think that's being wealthy. But the wealthy, the millionaire and the billionaire, is having sleepless nights because he's afraid he could become a pauper. He might lose it all. And the one who's sleeping in the streets is having sleepless nights because he's dreaming that one day he will have mansions and he will be a millionaire. We have to be somewhere in between, that what Allah has granted me, what I have now, is enough for my needs. I have clothes on my body. I have food for my stomach. I have a bed to sleep in. I have people who love me. Isn't this enough for us? So the true wealth is not in possessions. The true wealth is in contentment. That whatever Allah has destined, and Allah has not destined everybody equally. He says in the Quran that I have given some of them more than others to test one against the other. To test the poor, to see how he behaves with his poverty when he sees the wealthy. And the wealthy, what he does with his money when he sees the poor. Does it give him arrogance and superiority, or does it give him the humility and generosity to help his brothers and other human beings that have been given less? So this is all a test. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, don't be distracted by competing, working, because that is the summary of capitalism. Capitalism is to have more and more and more. And it never ends. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, as we said in this hadith, till the stomach is filled with the dust of the grave. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us the same thing in three words. In the next ayah, he says, "Hatta zurtumul maqabir." You are distracted in your competition for this worldly gains until "Hatta zurtumul maqabir." Zurtu means zurna. Ziyara means to visit, till you visit the graves. Now, one meaning of this is till you are brought into your grave, till you die, which is the most appropriate meaning of this. But it also alludes to that when we visit the graveyards, and we don't do that too often, we don't. Many times we pass by the graveyards without thinking, without taking lessons in Ibrah. But sometimes when you do go to the graveyards and you look at the gravestones and you see the names of the people, some that you know, some that you don't know, born in this year, he lived 80 years, died at 6 months, died at 23. And you see that for some people with hearts, that is an Ibrah, that I am also destined to be here. And what am I preparing for it? Or am I still distracted, knowing that I have only one end, which is in the grave? And still, I'm distracted because I want more and more and more of the dunya. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you are distracted, you are deceived by your desire for more and more until you come to the graves. And even in the graveyards, there are narrations that the Quraysh, the different tribes who used to compete with each other, that we have more and we have more in wealth, we have more in weaponry, we have more in power, we have more in number. When that would finish, they would go to the graveyards, and then they would say that this is, you know, this brave man's grave is here, he was from my tribe. Who do you have from your tribe? They would brag even about their ancestors who were buried there, to see. Even in that, there was competition that who had more of the noble people, the brave people of the past. So, in the end, there is only one certainty, which is death. And with that death, all of this competition comes to an end. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is warning us ahead of time, before we come to that point, not to be distracted from something. And He doesn't specify what you are distracted from. So this is the eloquence of the Quran, that Allah doesn't specify, and therefore it is open, it's comprehensive. So we can take some example. It distracts you, like the ayah says, an dhikrillah, from the remembrance of Allah. You forget, or I forget, because of being busy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my creator, my provider, my sustainer. Because I'm too busy earning more, doing more, having more, buying more, entertaining more. So we forget who our creator is. We forget, for another example, we forget the purpose for which we were created. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have not created jinns or mankind except for my ubudiyah, my ibadah, submission to me, my worship, my obedience. So we get so busy with chasing and competing for the dunya, that we forget to worship Allah as He deserves, to remember Allah as He deserves at every moment. We forget, we get distracted by the blessings from the one who bestows the blessings. So they make us forget who gave them to us. Sometimes we don't even recognize, we are so distracted that these are blessings. It makes us forget who we ourselves are. It makes us forget, distracts us from taking a muhasabah, a self-assessment. Where do I stand? If the angel of death were to come to me today, what would be my position in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That we are distracted from looking back at what my life has been and making the necessary corrections in my life. We're distracted from planning for the future, which could be just a day, of what I'm going to do different so that my scales are heavy on the day of judgment. Interestingly, this surah is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed it with four other surahs which talk about this. It starts with surah Zalzala, Zilzal, that we studied, talking about when everything is destroyed, and man is brought and will see everything he did. After that comes Surah Adiyat. Akhira, Adiyat in dunya, that man is ungrateful until he comes to the grave and the graves will be opened up. Next Surah Al-Qariyah, going back, Day of Judgment. You know, when that day of judgment comes, and it ends with the people who will be in Jahannam. Then comes this Surah. What will cause people to be in Jahannam? They were too distracted with the dunya. They didn't plan. So another thing that it makes you distracted from is planning for the akhirah, preparing for the akhirah, and specifically the day of judgment and then Jahannam. Making sure that our preparation is such that we don't end up in Jahannam. So that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then stresses in this surah, that you are forgetting, but he says, kalla, nay. Kalla means denial, what you are involved with, negating that. Nay, this is useless. Kalla, surely, sawfa ta'lamun, means in the near future. Sawfa means in the near future, تعلمون. You will come to know. What will you come to know? The reality of what you are being told now. That there is a day of judgment. That there is Jahannam. That you have to prepare for it. ثُمَّ كَلَّ سَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stresses that by repeating the same words, just adding ثُمَّ. Again. ثُمَّ is again, and it's also for ta'keed, for emphasis. You know, you say something and you repeat it to tell you how important it is. ثُمَّ كَلَّ. Nay, indeed, you will soon come to know. كَلَّ لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ عِلْمَ الْيَقِينَ. Nay. لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ. The word لَوْ represents a hypothetical if, or also with regret, means if you only knew. If you will come to know, but if you only knew now, with the same degree of certainty that you will know when you see the day of judgment, when you see the Jahannam. Kalla law ta'lamuna, if you were to know. علم اليقين, with the certainty of knowledge. علم اليقين. Yaqeen means something of which you have absolutely no doubt. There is nothing that you need to discuss, nothing that needs clarification. It is so absolute that it's taken for granted by you. That nobody can dissuade you from that. That I know this for sure. And علم اليقين means to have certainty of that knowledge. Certainty of that knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, كَلَّا لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ عِلْمَ الْيَقِينَ. We wish, in a way, one of the sisters, if you could please mute your mic, that would be helpful. كَلَّا لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ عِلْمَ الْيَقِينَ. If you knew with the certainty of knowledge. The certainty of knowledge comes from having heard about it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will talk about أَيْنَ الْيَقِينَ. Certainty that comes from seeing it. Now we cannot have certainty of knowledge from seeing, because we don't see the day of judgment. We don't see the hellfire. We don't see Jannah. We don't see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we have certainty, and inshallah we have certainty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's from ilm al-yaqeen, from what we have heard, what we know. We have certainty of day of judgment is ilm al-yaqeen, from the knowledge that was granted to us through Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, through the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that yes, there is a day of judgment. We have certainty of the the Jahannam and the Jannah, paradise and hell, because it's ilm al-yaqeen. Now, do we have that yaqeen, or we just have ilm? That's the question. Because if we have ilm al-yaqeen, the yaqeen certainty, then our lives change and reflect that we have certainty in this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that I have created you for a certain purpose, which is for my ubudiyah. I have not created this universe in vain. It was created to serve you, and you were created to serve me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, innama, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَحَسِبْتُمْ, do you then think, أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا, that we created you just as idle play, in jest, وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ, that you would not be brought back, returned to us for a day of judgment. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us that we are going back to Him, and that we have to lead our lives in a way that reflects that, and that's a preparation for it. So here he's saying, if you knew that with ilmul yaqeen, you would not allow the worldly gain and competition to become a distraction for you from things that are more meaningful, such as the purpose of your creation and the ubudiyya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the next ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَتَرَوُنَّ الْجَحِيمِ. The lamb of ta'keed, of stressing that certainly, تَرَوُنَّ, not تَرَوْنَ, you will certainly, there is two emphasis, the beginning and end of this, by saying لَتَرَوُنَّ, and indeed you will. لَتَرَوُنَّ الْجَحِيمِ. Jahim is one of the names of the blazing fire. Something that scares you, like the eyes of a hungry lion staring at you. Jahannam is going to look at us like that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَتَرَوُنَّ الْجَحِيمِ. Indeed, you will. And when he says this, it is everyone. Even people going into Jannah have to see Jahannam and go over it and cross it. That sirat, that bridge over Jahannam. So that the purpose for them having to see it, so that they may know how fortunate they are, how blessed they are, not to end up there. And of course, for those who end up in Jahannam, it is there for them. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again stresses, thumma, again, latarawunnaha aynal yaqeen. And indeed, without a doubt, you will see her, which is the hellfire. Ayn al-yaqeen. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you will see it with your own eyes. So it will no longer be ilmul yaqeen. The certainty that was based on what you had heard, what you had believed in, what you had knowledge of Jahannam. Now you will have ayn al-yaqeen. You will have certainty by having seen it. And there is one other level that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about in the Quran elsewhere, which is haqqul yaqeen. So three, ilmul yaqeen, knowledge, aynal yaqeen, certainty that comes from seeing, and haqqul yaqeen, which is the reality of it. Okay, let's take an example. We all have knowledge that there's a fruit called a mango. We are certain there is a fruit called mango. Ilmul yaqeen, knowledge of it. Now somebody brings you a crate of mango and you see it. That's aynul yaqeen. You have seen it with certainty. This is a mango. Now you cut and you taste it. Then you know the haqiqah, the reality of this yaqeen. Another example, you see smoke somewhere. You know there is a fire. That's ilmul yaqeen. You can't see the fire, but you know there is smoke. What generates it is a fire, so there must be a fire. Then you come close, you drive close to that smoke and you see the flames. That's aynul yaqeen. And you come closer and suppose the flame touches you and you feel the burn of it. That is haqqul yaqeen. So that's the ultimate level of certainty. When we are entered into Jannah, that will be the haqqul yaqeen because we will experience it. People who are entered into Jahannam, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all from that, once they feel that fire and the burn, that will be haqqul yaqeen. But everyone else will see aynul yaqeen, and we as believers have ilmul yaqeen, that yes, it is real. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that that day is coming, the hellfire will be there, you will all experience it, either by seeing it, by crossing it, or by being entered into it. Then in the last ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. ثُمَّ then surely, لَتُسْأَلُنَّ. Again, the structure is with emphasis. Emphasis means there should be no doubt in your mind. لَتُسْأَلُنَّ, you will be asked. Not لَتُسْأَلُونَ, which means you will be asked. لَتُسْأَلُنَّ, the structure says, there is a ta'kid, there is emphasis in the beginning of the word, there is a ta'kid with a second noon at the end. Without doubt, on that day, yawma idhin, You will be asked about what? Anin Na'im. Na'ma means blessing. The plural of Na'ma is Na'am. Na'am. Na'im means one who has continuously experienced the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now just remember, on the day, when we think of the day of judgment, when we said you will be questioned, we always think of our deeds, our amal, our do's, what you did, what you didn't do. And about that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that on the day of judgment, if somebody is asked about his deeds, if he is questioned, then he is halak, he is destroyed. Because it's Allah's mercy that he will not even ask people who he wants to enter into Jannah. He will enter them. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam frequently in his dua at the end of salah used to ask, Allahumma inni as'aluka. Allahumma inni as'aluka hisaban yaseera. Oh Allah, I ask you for an easy hisab, accounting. And our mother, Ummuna Aisha radiallahu anha, said, Ya Rasulullah, what is that you this ask this easy reckoning? He said, easy reckoning is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not ask you anything. Because if he asks you, then you are in trouble already. That's about the deeds. And we all know that. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, you will be asked about the blessings. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, one of the first things you will be asked about, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, did we not give you good health and cold water to drink? So we will be asked about our good health. We'll be asked about cold water. We'll be asked about the sleep that we have, the beds we sleep in, the food that we eat and we enjoy, the cold water on the hot day. All of those things are wealth. We only think it's wealth. Of course we'll be asked about it. We'll be asked about our children. I gave you them as a blessing, not to take you away. What did you do with them? How did you deal with them? What did you teach them? Where you earned your money, where you spent it. What did you do with the strength that I gave you of your body and your mind in your youth? What did you do with your youth? What did you do with the 80 years of long life I gave you? What did you do with the spouse I gave you? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's bounties, his ni'mah, his na'am, are countless. At every moment, if you're going to be asked about cold water, will we not be asked about the cold breeze that we enjoyed? The fresh air that we breathe, that we only notice when we go to a highly polluted city somewhere and we have trouble breathing? Will we not be asked about the fresh air? Will we not be asked about the cool that we feel? Will we not be asked about the rain that comes down as a blessing? Now, man is so ungrateful that we complain about everything. If it gets a little cold, we will complain it's too cold. If it gets a little hot, we complain it's too hot. If there's little rain, we complain that there's not enough rain. If Allah sends a lot of rain, we complain there's too much rain. Everything is a blessing. So whatever comes, we should take it as a blessing. We should show gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If I am able to sleep, I should be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If I am allowed to wake up tomorrow morning, I should do hamd and shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you did not take my soul, give me another day. Everything that I eat and enjoy, every single moment, my heart is beating. I'm not aware who's running the show here inside me. One command, it stops. Nobody can restart it. Everything that's going on within me is a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I will be asked. And you can put it all together within me as good health. Just one word. Good health. Sihha is the hadith. Hadith said, you'll be asked about sihha. good health. What did you do with your good health? The least we can do is recognize it, try and maintain it, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it. And then to use that in ways that Allah is pleased with. Similarly with wealth. How we earn it and how we spend it. The minimum of which is to earn halal and to spend first by giving zakat and then some in sadaqah, then for the family, then for anything else. But not use it to compete with others and show and brag that I have arrived. Look, I am so successful. That's the wrong use. To use wealth to influence people, to bribe people, to use it in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of those are questions that we will have to answer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask us for everything. And just remember, the more He has given us, the more wealth we have, the longer the question. There's the story from among the Ashara Mubashara, the 10 who were given the story of, who were given the Bashara, the glad tidings of Jannah in their lifetime, the 10 companions of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Among them were two very wealthy people, Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu and it'll come to me in a moment. I've got
Abdurrahman ibn Auf.
Jazakallah khair. Sayyidina Abdurrahman ibn Auf. So, one day, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was given the visions and experience of what Jannah is and what would happen, and the Day of Judgment, he told Sayyidatuna Aisha radiallahu anha that I saw all my companions coming to me in Jannah and one was missing, Abdurrahman ibn Auf. Was missing and missing and missing until I became concerned, is he not going to come? Then he arrived, he came late. And when I asked him, what took you so long? He said, Ya Rasulullah, I had to give accounting for all my wealth. So this story was told to Abdurrahman ibn Auf by someone, that our mother Aisha radiallahu anha narrated this. So he came running to her, said, Ya Ummuna Aisha, is it true that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I will be the last of his companions to join him and I will come crawling? She said, yes, because you would have to give accounting for all your wealth. So he left, and everything he had, he gave in charity. Everything. But then Allah gave him more. So this was his thing. So the more we have, the moral of the story is, more we have, the more accounting we have to give. So it's not all good, it's a test. But if the more we have and the more we spend it in good, alhamdulillah, that elevates our darajat in Jannah. So, the theme of this surah is that there is one yaqeen. Elsewhere, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, فَعَبُدْ رَبُّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. Worship Allah till yaqeen comes to you. And that yaqeen is death. No matter believer, disbeliever, Hindu, Sikh, Muslim, Nasrani, atheist, everyone knows that my end is death. That's a certainty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls it the ultimate of yaqeen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you will come to that, you will come to your graves. Before that, prepare, fulfill the purpose for which I have created you, which is to live in this world humbly, like a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told, as we mentioned in the last halaqa we had on Surah Asr, that one day the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam grabbed hold of this young boy, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, Abdullah ibn Umar. He said, held him by the shoulders, and he says to him, "Kun fi dunya ka annaka gharib aw abir as-sabil." Be in this world. He's telling this young man, this is the best advice he is giving him, holding him to catch his attention. He's saying, "Kun fi dunya ka annaka gharib." Be in this world like you are a stranger, aw abir as-sabil, or a traveler. And let's understand that if you come to a strange land, you're a stranger, you don't feel too comfortable, you don't get very comfortable. Because this is not my place. I am in a strange land. And literally, we are strangers here on earth because our land, our destination, where we came from, our homes, were in Jannah. We are here as strangers trying to get back to our Jannah. Or be like a traveler. The Prophet ﷺ said, be like a traveler. And as we travel, for example, by train, when it comes to a stop at a station, when we're traveling in our countries in the Far East, 15 minutes stops here, you don't go to the waiting room and you start building things and decorating the waiting rooms, they have waiting rooms. Or you are in the airports, you have a connecting flight because you are a traveler. You don't start unpacking and decorating and putting curtains and this and that and arranging because we are travelers. It's you. So you'd say it's a fool because I have to move. My connecting flight is coming or is right around the corner. So he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, live like that. In other words, always be ready for that announcement. All passengers on flight such and such, please go to gate such and such. That's what we are. The announcement will come. Malikul Maut will come. Ya Ali Hazrat Ji, your announcement has come. Let's go to the gate. Exit from this dunya. That's how it is. That's how prepared we have to be. And it can happen anytime. Allah may give us 10 years. Allah may give us 10 days. Allah may give us 10 hours. Are we prepared? And then in another narration, in the same incident, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there's this addition, this ziyad, which says, وَأُدْ نَفْسَكَ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ الْقُبُورِ, and count yourself from the people of the grave. He's telling this young boy, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, and count, be like a stranger or a traveler, and count yourself from أصحاب الْقُبُورِ, like you are a person who has been buried. One day, Abdullah bin Mas'ud, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anh, came to visit the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who had had a nap and he had been resting. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat up and he did not have an upper garment. It was just the izar, which is the lower garment covering him. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat up, the mat, date palm mat, that crisscross pattern, was imprinted all over his back, on which he had been sleeping. Hard surface with this mat. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu looked at it and he felt, this is Rasulullah sallallahu, this is the best of Allah's creation. He said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you would just give us permission, we can put something on this mat, a few, you know, a sheet or a little mattress to make it more comfortable so that your noble body doesn't have to suffer from this discomfort and this pattern on your back. So he's just asking permission. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Mali, what between me and me, what do I have to do with this dunya? Means, in other words, he said, I'm just a traveler. He said, my example is like that of a traveler who comes to rest under a tree, the shade of a tree, and he rests for a while and then he continues on his journey. So why should he worry about so much comfort, so much luxury, that everything has to be perfect? This is the example he gave, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is the life he lived, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What are the kinds of things we will be asked about? One day, Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, came out of his house in the middle of the afternoon. Why? In the heat? Because He had been starving. He got so hungry with hunger pangs, he couldn't stay in his house. So he said, let me just go outside and walk. And guess who he meets there in the heat? Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. So he asks him, what brings you out in this heat? So Sayyidina Umar said, hunger. I was so hungry, I came out to get distracted that maybe. So they are talking to each other and sharing their woes of how hungry they were. And these are the best of the Sahaba. Then lo and behold, guess who comes along? Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, what are the two of you doing here? He said, ya Rasulullah, hunger brought us out from our homes. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, my condition is the same. Then he said, looking not for himself, but looking at his companions, he said, let's go. So he takes them to the house of an Ansari family who was a little bit better off. So they go and knock on the door. And he says, salam, no answer. He knocks a second time, no answer. Third time, he says, salam, and he's about to leave. And then the door opens, and the Sahabiya, the wife of that Ansari, opens the door. He says, ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we heard you the first time, but we didn't answer because we wanted you to say salam to us again for the blessings of that. Please come in. This is the most gracious guest that we've had. So they go into the house and he asks her, do you have anything for us to eat? Subhanallah. Imagine Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, best of Allah's creation, who Allah can feed anything he wants, but as example for us. Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar. Just then, the Sahabi, the Ansari comes and he opens the door and he sees these great companions. He says, there has never been more blessings in this house than to have these guests. So he looks at their state and he knows immediately. He goes out immediately. He has a date palm tree and he cuts a whole bunch, you know, whole big thing of dates. Some are ripe, some are semi-ripe, some are very ripe, some are raw. Brings the whole thing and puts them in front of them. Eat, ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you should have just brought some for us to eat. Said, no, because you might like the ripe one, you might like the not so ripe one, so I brought them. So they eat that. And he brings cold water for them to drink. And they drink that. Then he pulls out his knife and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knows where he is going. He says, don't sacrifice any milk-giving animal, because he knows that he is going to do the best for them. So he goes, he sacrifices an animal and brings it as food, and they come, they enjoy the food. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, on the day of judgment, you will be asked about this man. People who were starving. He said, why? Ya Rasulullah, will be asked about this? He said, yeah, because you came hungry and you're leaving with your stomachs full. The ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the cold water that you drank, you will be asked about it. When we say you will be asked about it, is to stress for us that we have to be grateful at all times for all these blessings that we take for granted. That we just assume that this is my right. That I have to have cold water. If I have a little warm water, he said, no, throw this and bring me cold water. Put ice in it. Whatever is given to you, drink. Don't complain. Whatever food is, don't complain. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never complained about the food. If he didn't like something, he wouldn't eat it. He would eat something else. But he didn't say, what is this? So, gratitude for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us. Let us be people who are always grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever situation we are in. To be happy, to be content, that is wealth. Richness is richness of ghina, ghani of the qalb. The person who has little and is satisfied is the richest. He doesn't need any more. I told you about the story of Al-Junaid Al-Baghdadi, rahmatullahi alayhi. He came with the fuqara, his ashab, they were called the fuqara, to Mecca for Umrah. And they were sitting in a halaqa, and the news got around that Al-Junaid is here. And one generous, good Muslim who had a lot of wealth brought a bag of gold and he put it there as hadiah. He said, Ya Sheikh, this is for you and your fuqara. Out of his generosity. Then Al-Junaid rahmatullah asked this man, he said, Jazakallahu khair, may Allah increase what you have. Then he asked him, do you have more of it? He said, yes, we have more. I have a lot more. He said, would you like more? He said, yes, I would like more. So then he picked up that bag and he gave it back to him. He said, you are more in need of this than me and my fuqara. Because we are so rich, we have no need for anything. Anyone who needs is not rich. So having is not the thing, it's the contentment. So let us be content with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us of everything. Wealth and children, let us make sure that we deal with them in the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with, that we fulfill the rights of our children. The rights of children is not to be fed and overfed and made obese and more food and more clothes and more toys and more iPhones. The right for the children is to be taught to know who their Rabb is, to recognize their Rabb, to be grateful to their Rabb, to worship their Rabb, to know the deen, to know the status of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to know his seerah, to know his companions, to have heroes from the Sahaba, not what we have of trash around today in the showbiz and the sports world and all of that. So that is what our duty to our children is. When we say education, today we take pride, my child graduated from Harvard or Yale or so and so, and he got this job and he has an MBA and he has a PhD. Does he know Allah? If he doesn't know Allah, doesn't know his Rasul, doesn't know the Quran, doesn't know the Deen, you can be a PhD from every institute in the world, from Sorbonne to Harvard to Yale to anywhere else, you are zero. Teach the children that. That's the right of the children. Use the wealth properly. Let us generate the wealth. We are not saying don't work. What we are saying, don't be in a state of imbalance where you are running after abandoning prayers, abandoning Juma, running after things and forgetting the main thing. So don't be among the people, al-haakum al-takathur, those whom this competition for plenty and more distracted from the main purpose, which was the purpose for which they were created, the ubudiyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be good stewards on this earth for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his khalifa, to live by his laws, to reflect in our akhlaq, the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of rahmah, of truthfulness, of generosity, of magnanimity, of justice. All of those should be reflected in our akhlaq. That's what we are here for. Not a competition for wealth and more possessions and children, that I have more and my child is better than yours. Competition, Allah is good. Allah has put competition in, but he tells us to compete for what? He said, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَىٰ مَغْفِرَةٍ. Race with each other, compete with each other for Allah's maghfirah, is forgiven. وَجَنَّةٍ أَرْضُهَا السَّمَوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ أُعِدَّتِ الْمُتَّقِينَ. For the Jannah, whose width is greater than the heavens and the earth. Compete for that. Compete in khairat, in goodness. The Sahaba competed. Sayyidina Umar and Sayyidina Abu Bakr, always competing. Who can do better? Who can do more? And we have many stories and examples of that. Compete in those things. Compete in who can give more? Who can give more to the masjid? Who can spend more in Ramadan for the refugees? Who can sponsor more orphans? Who can feed more people? Feeding the poor. People are hungry. We have food that we are throwing away. We fast because it's fard. We fast because it is mustahab. We fast because it's a sunnah. There are people who are fasting not out of choice because they have no food. Feed people. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave great emphasis on feeding people. Feed people, the poor. Give, support people. So spend wealth in a way where it becomes an asset for us. I'll finish with this one hadith, which we also know. The Prophet ﷺ says, the son of Adam says, Mali, Mali, my wealth, my wealth. He says, what is his wealth? His only three categories. One, what he has eaten, consumed, and excreted, what is finished. Number two, the clothes that he has worn and worn out. And number three, what he has spent for the akhirah in good deeds. The first two we call consumables, clothes and food. They're consumed and finished. What we send for the akhirah is our true asset, except we don't see those assets. We will see them in the Day of Judgment. So the wise person is not just a consumer, he's an investor. He wants to have his assets, but his assets are not held in any Swiss accounts. They are held with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Assets don't go away. They are there. The word Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses, and what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam uses in this hadith, is the wealth that has been sent forward is your asset. And the other two are consumables. So let us be those who use things of this dunya to what we need, but we prepare for the akhirah and we put all of our assets and majority of our assets of our possessions for the akhirah by spending in ways that Allah is pleased and blessed with, pleased with us and blesses us with. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the reality of this surah be reflected in our lives, that He hold us back from this greed and competing and distraction for more and more of the dunya. And whatever He blesses us, because whatever is written is going to come to us, is acquired and spent in a way that He is pleased. That on the Day of Judgment, we are not held back with big accounting and big accounting, but Allah gives us hisab and yaseera, easy hisab. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us see that Jahannam from a distance, that we don't even feel its heat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to pass by His mercy and by our good deeds, that sirat over the fire towards into Jannah at the speed of lightning. Ameen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gather us with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his noble companions, the Ashara Mubashara and the others, even though our current lives, my current life, does not reflect the lives that they lived. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us humility. May He give us simplicity in our lives. And we should reflect that in our children, get out of the habit of buying more and more and more for them, because then they become the same. When they grow up, they'll want more and more. It's never satisfied. How long they are thrilled with. A child that has one toy will play with it forever. The one who gets one every day, after 5 minutes, he's thrown that, wants the next one, because he's bored. So let us not be one who is bored with the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but one who appreciates everything that He gives us, every sip of water. We're going to end with that, and I hope at least some of us are fasting. Today is the day of Tasia, the 9th of Muharram. Tomorrow is the day of Ashura. Ashura is the 10th of Muharram, which is the day if we fast. Fi sabilillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wipes out the previous year's sins, the minor sins. The major sins, of course, require tawbah. And we can also, those who didn't fast today, can do 10 and 11, can do the day after. Those who want can do 9, 10, 11. And it doesn't end with that, because the Prophet ﷺ taught us that the most virtuous month of fasting after month of Ramadan is the month Al-Muharram. So, extra fast even this. This is the best month of fasting. And that's a good way to start the new year. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the fasting. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept this gathering and make it blessed and weighty on the Day of Judgment. Jazakallahu khairan. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum.